Hello there and welcome along to the Racing Postcast, and what a weekend we have in store. We couldn't find any presenters, so unfortunately you're in the capable hands of myself, David Jennings. So this podcast is going to last probably till next Wednesday. But to dissect the action, we've got the Racing Post very own betting editor, Keith Melrose, and Frank the Tank Hickey from Paddy Power. Now we're going to get stuck straight in. There's no time for small talk. And we're going to kick off with the 3:35 at Doncaster on Saturday, the final classic of the year in Britain. It is the Pertemps St. Ledger. And Frank Hickey, can you run us down some Paddy Power prices?
Yeah, Pile Driver and Santiago joint favourites at the moment are 5-2. Hookham 7-2, Galileo Chrome 11-2, Subjectivist 14-1, Dawn Patrol 16-1, and we're 22-1 bar.
Now, we were talking off air just before we started, and I heard that famous Frank Hickey. Oh, I have one for the weekend. Frank, tell viewers and listeners exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'm very keen on Galileo Chrome. I got involved earlier in the week as well. I just think like Pile Driver, very impressive in the Voltigeur. That wasn't very strongly run, and I thought he won it with a turn of foot. I'd just be worried about the trip for him. Hookham, he did win over a mile five in the Geoffrey Freer, but again, that wasn't strongly run, and he did win easily enough, but he won again with, I thought, a turn of foot. And I'd just be worried about the two of them staying. Now, I think as well, the way the race is going to be run, it's going to be the Coolmore lads setting it up for Santiago, turning into a stamina test, because we know he stays. He's won over a mile six already at Ascot earlier in the year. And Subjectivist in there as well, he's a strong stayer. He's definitely going to kick on as well. So it's going to be strongly run. Santiago, I think, is the one to beat, but Galileo Chrome's the horse I love. He was very well backed with us the day he won his maiden at the Curragh on Guineas weekend. And he did well to win the circumstances. He got up late. That race has worked out well. Obviously, behind him that day was, I think, Dawn Patrol, who went on to finish second in the Bahrain Trophy at Newmarket, a Group 3. And in fifth was Serpentine, who obviously went on to win the Derby. So, substance to the form. He was due to run the Irish Derby, got a stone bruise and had to skip it. They've taken a slower approach with him. Was very impressive when he won at Leopardstown over 10 furlongs, beating Master Foxhounds by 6 lengths, as easy as you like. The Master Foxhounds rated 93, and he absolutely kicked them out of the way. And then he went to the Listed Yates Stakes at Navan the last day over a mile five, and he absolutely hammers the 105 rated Emperor of the Sun again very easily. I just think he'll stay no problem. He's improving at the right time. And even though he's shortened up a lot in the market, I wouldn't be surprised if he's shortened up again before tomorrow. I'm very keen on him. I think he's a right chance of winning.
Whoa, what a start. That's the way to start a weekend, Irish Champions weekend and the St. Ledger. Frank the Tank Hickey, very, very keen on Galileo Chrome for Joseph O'Brien and Shane Cross. And just sicking us all, Frank, what's the biggest price you've got?
I'm not on the biggest. I got on a bit of 10-1, but that's about it.
That's all right. That's all right. Double figure price. Keith Melrose, what wins the St. Ledger?
Well, I hope it doesn't pan out like Frank thinks. If it does, I think he's got a chance there what he's got, because Galileo Chrome, I think, is a real stayer. I think he needs a long time to unfurl that big stride of his. And if it does turn into a stamina test, he is a runner. I think there's potentially only two really good horses in this race, and one's Pile Driver, who's short enough, and I think Hookham's the other one. I think Hookham is arguably going to be the best horse in this field. He's got the form against older horses, and he won that Newbury race so easily on just his fourth run. You know, two runs this season as a three-year-old. The first of them, he won at Royal Ascot, and the second of them, he's gone and beaten older horses on his ear, really. So Hookham is, I think he should be favourite. And his stamina, he's basically the stars, bred to get at least a mile and a half, and obviously has shown he gets a mile five in a bit. So you're not asking an awful lot more for him to stay the Ledger trip. The only other one, I have actually had a little bet at a very big price. I got 33s this morning about Mohican Heights as well. I think that price is a little bit too big. I've got him as a bit of a saver. His former Pile Driver actually ties in pretty well. He just got a bad ride at Ascot. Otherwise, he would have been relatively close in that King Edward VII. And obviously, he just hated it in the Derby. You could actually see him hanging across the camber both ways. Did not enjoy that at all. I've seen the quotes that our intrepid reporters got from David Simcock. They're not worried at all about the absence, since he did get himself in a touch of difficulty at Epsom and has just taken his time coming back. You know, if he'd run since, he'd probably done enough to show that he should be about a 14-16s chance. And yet, I got 33s this morning. It's starting to dry up. Anything north of 20s is still a bet each way.
Lovely stuff. So Mohican Heights, Keith Melrose, is on at 33-1. and Frank is very keen on Galileo Chrome. I think I'm going to be boring and I just think Santiago will probably just about win. It's funny to say that an Irish Derby winner might not quite be good enough to win the St. Ledger, but that's what you're talking about. I think he'll run his race. I think he'll run to a mark of 114. Whether that's good enough or not, I'm not 100% sure, but I think he is the most likely winner. So it is just about Santiago for me. Moving across the water to Leopardstown and a cracking Saturday of action in South Dublin. At 4:10, it's the Irish Champion Stakes and it sees the return of the front-running Gaiat. Just how short is he, Frank?
We're 4-7 now, David. Japan 4-1, Magical 11-2, Sotsa 7-1, and we're 33s bar.
Just how surprised were those in the Paddy Power office when the declarations came through and the name of Ryan Moore was next to Japan rather than Magical? It was a frantic changing of the market, I'd imagine.
Yeah, very surprised. Absolutely shocked. Yeah, we were laying a bit of Magical last week, and then Goyet became very strong, maybe like Tuesday and Wednesday, suggesting obviously they'd made the decision he was definitely going to come over as well. So to see Ryan Moore in Japan, completely left field. I couldn't believe it.
Keith, how good is Gaiat?
He's extremely good, isn't he? And he was always good, but it's this year that he's basically grown up. You know, he used to be a horse that couldn't take his races back-to-back and took a lot out of himself. But he's five now and obviously strengthened up to the point where he can take these races back-to-back. I looked at this race and thought, there'd be no chance I'll be betting in this race. Gaiat just goes off and wins. Now, yeah, I think his price is fine. I think the market behind actually isn't necessarily in the right order. You know, he's beaten Japan, he's beaten Magical. We don't need him to beat Armoury and Leo De Fury to tell us he's a much better horse. He hasn't beaten Sotsas. And Sotsas comes from France, and you know, your assumption is French middle distance horse, it quickens, doesn't it? Sotsas isn't actually like that. His best runs, when he won the Prix de Jockey Club last year beating Persian King, and when he finished third in the Arc, they were both pretty well-run races. Those have been his best performances. This year he's not sparkled, partly because he hasn't got a well-run race to go into yet. He's still won a Group 1 on his middle of three runs, and I suspect the runs either side have been preparing him for big days, of which I think this is one. So I think Sotsas, if you're going to bet him, you can bet him to win, you can bet him without Gaiat, you can bet him each way. I just think he is in the wrong place in the betting.
Okay, just on Gaiat, Keith, I'm going to put it to you that Armoury is obviously in there with Wayne Lorden riding, and obviously Aidan has Japan and Magical. What happens if Wayne from Stall 6 pops Armoury out in front and says, I am going to annoy the hell out of William Buick here, and Magical, with Jamie Heffernan aboard, is going to sit on the tail of Gaiat, so he is one either side of him and not allowed to dictate the fractions that William Buick wants to dictate? Does that matter to Gaiat? Is he a one-trick pony? Does he have to make his own running, or can he track one of the Ballydoyle runners?
I am more worried about Buick getting spooked than Gaiat now, I think. What would happen in the situation you've proposed there is that Buick would have a choice to make. And the sensible choice would be, well, let the rag do what it likes. I'll set the fractions I want to. And if he chooses to do that, he should be fine. He should get away with it. It's if Buick gets in his head a little and starts to be cute or starts to do something that maybe he shouldn't be doing and riding a race rather than riding his horse, because, you know, that's how Gaiat wins races. He's the best horse most of the time. If you ride your horse, you've got a better chance than if you ride a race with him. So it's more on Buick than the horse, I think.
Yeah, and if you go back earlier on in his career, he didn't actually have to make the run. And I think
he didn't make it when he won that race in Germany by literally half the track last year.
Yeah, and even when he won the Autumn Stakes at Newmarket, he actually came from quite far back. Frank, is this straightforward? Are we trying to make an interesting race out of a very not interesting race? Does Gaiat just bounce out, make all and win?
That's the most likely thing. I'd be very much in the same camp as Keith here. I was looking at it going, I would want to be taking 4-7 about Gaiat yet. Just because Sotsas, we don't know. He's got top class form. Like, he beat Persian King easily in the Prix de Jockey Club last year, and he was third in a strong arc behind Wall Geese and Enable. His form is really strong. I think this whole season has been about two races, this race and the arc itself. And he's going to run a career best. I'm not sure if he's good enough to beat Gaiat, But like Keith said there, I'd be all over him without Market. I think he's got a right chance. Jean-Claude Rouget won this race 4 years ago with Alain Mansour. I'm sure you were there that night. He was absolutely brilliant that night, David, if you remember.
He did. Beat Found, yeah.
Oh, he was brilliant. And I think Sotsas is a right chance. He's the one who could beat Gade, potentially. But I think he'll be... If, looking at the current market, he'll be valuing without Market, definitely.
So he's 7-1 to win the race straight with Paddy Power. Are we going to get a bit of 11-4, kind of 5-2-ish without, or even a bit bigger?
Yeah, I think he probably will. Now, it depends. I must look and see if I'm pricing the Irish Champion Stakes, which I don't think I am. But if I was pricing it, the win market, I'd be a lot shorter Sotsas and bigger Magical in Japan, which therefore would have an impact on the without market. But it just depends how the other traders see the race. But I wouldn't be surprised if you get 5-2 or 11-4 at some stage this evening.
Gents, in a word, who finishes in front of who? Japan or Magical? Frank?
Magical beat Japan, I think.
Keith?
Oh, you do a spread bet and you take the Magical side because she's bomb-proof in Japan. I increasingly think he's a little bit, you know, he's not as reliable as he was.
Now, boys, you know me. I'm the forgiven type. And I think there is one massive run in Japan. Now, we've made excuses for him over and over again. It sounds like there was a legitimate excuse. I have an interview in the Racing Post with Aidan O'Brien on Saturday. And, you know, he goes out of his way to explain just how bad the feet were and how he was barefoot for 10 days and how, you know, that wasn't his true running. And he did win the Judmont last year when he beat Crystal Ocean. I think he's ever been a little bit harsh in Japan. And while I'm not saying he'll beat Gaia, I do think there is a big performance in him. And I do think he's the biggest danger. So for me, if there was a betting without market, I would be in the Japan camp. But for the two boys, it is Gaia to beat Sotsas. So they're very keen on Sotsas in the betting without market. So keep your eyes peeled to Paddy Power when they do bring out the betting without market, which is likely to be today, I'd say, Frank, will it?
Yeah, that'll be up this evening, David, yeah.
Excellent. So there you go. That's the two big races, the Ledger at Doncaster and the Irish Champion Stakes. Join us after the break when we'll be dissecting the rest of the action on Saturday.
Paddy Power is streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast on what is a fantastic weekend of action both in Ireland and in Britain. And we're going to go through some of the ITV races. Kicking off at 1:50 with the Champagne Stakes. It's a Group 2. And Frank Hickey, can we have some Paddy Power prices?
Al-Bashir is 13-8. Chindis 2-1. Mudjbar 5-1. Devious Company 9-1. St. Lawrence 10-1. And we're 14-1 bar.
Right, Frank, I'm going to kick off here because I was absolutely blown away by Mudjbar at Newmarket last time. Now, I know it was soft ground, 7 furlongs. The race fell apart a little bit. But the performance, to me, was one of the better two-year-old performances I've seen this season. It was effortless. The way he strode clear inside the final furlong screamed to me that this could potentially be a superstar. Now, Jim Crowley is on Al-Bashir for Owen Burrows, and that obviously worries me a little bit. But Dane O'Neill did ride him at Newmarket, and I think Mudjbar could be far better than the market is giving him credit for. Back me up here.
He's useful, but I'd be very strong on Chindit against him.
Okay, explain why.
Right, so Chindit, strong enough in the market on debut over this course of distance in July. He ridden prominently that day, was very smooth. Not too many of the Hanlon horses win first time out, but it was the last day of that, I really liked him. He was a little bit slow away, was held up out the back, and came through with a run and ran away from them. Now, you would think it was a listed race, it might have been that strong, but the second Cove came out and won a listed race at Salisbury. The third Naval Crown came out and won by a wide margin in York, was third in Group 3 in Longchamp. And even the fourth St. Lawrence, who was well beaten, came out and won a listed race at Newbury. The time was quite useful. It was, I think, just under 2 seconds slower than Blue Mist, but Chindit was carrying 6 pounds more than Blue Mist, who won the international handicap on the card. And the section was only 0.3 seconds slower. I think this market's a bit strange at the moment because I priced this race up Monday. I was very short Chindit. Al-Bashir and Mudjbar were the two we laid. To such an extent, I thought that Chindit must be a non-runner. So we were actually 4-1 standout best Wednesday evening. I was off yesterday. Chindit was declared. And you could get 3-1, 7-2 about Chindit, which I thought was massive. He's in 2-1 now. I'd be shocked if he doesn't go off favourite. I actually think if you ask him to have an anti-post bet for the Guineas at this very moment, he'd be the horse side back. I really like him. I think he's a very good horse. And the two Alhamdan horses will have to be very good to beat him, I think.
Well, Frank, you made my argument look very, very ordinary there. I think you've convinced listeners. I think they'll be all over Chindit, who at the moment with Paddy Power is 2-1 and sharing favouritism with Al Bashir. But it is Mujbar for me, who I think is a little bit of value at 5-1. Moving on to the 225, and it is the Portland Handicap. It's always a very, very tricky puzzle to try and solve. And at the moment, Frank, I think Soldier's Minute is your favourite.
Yeah, and we're paying 6 places here as well, David. So loads of each way value. Soldier's Minute, 6-1 favourite. Jawal, 8-1 along with Arecibo and the Moment of Madness, last year's winner. Barbells, 10-1. Two years ago, Moment of Madness won the race. Barbells, 10-1. Danzino, 12-1 along with Miras. Mountain Peak, Conchek. Wentworth Falls, 14-1 along with Saluti. And we're 16-1 bar.
Now, Frank, you know where I'm going to start. You know well. One of these days.
He's not going to do it.
It's all just going to fall into place. You know what's going to happen. It might be 2020. It might be 2026. But in the next couple of years, at some stage, sometime, Arecibo is going to win a big handicap. Could this be it? Everything looks in place, does it?
Yeah. I do think if he's ever going to win one, it should be. Like, if you go back to July, he was 5th when going off favourite off American 97, beaten only under 2 lengths by Comanche Chief. He's down to 93. Shape again running on when 4th off 94. Look, with 6 places, he's an absolute cracking each way bet. You're guaranteed.
Look, if he doesn't finish in the first 6, we'll just give up, right? He's going to finish in the first 6. So it's an each way bet to nothing.
He is, really. I know people don't like saying that, but he just really will hit the 6. I just don't like him from a win perspective. I had 2. I thought Jawal was one. He's starting to shorten up in the market the last day or so. Decent as a 2-year-old for John Gosden. And 3. Switched to Michael Dodds at the beginning of last season. Didn't win last year, but did run well, particularly at Doncaster twice. He was... 3rd beating a neck off a mark of 87 and 2nd beating a half length off a mark of 88. Now, he did win his reappearance here off a mark of 85, but it was his Ascot run when he was very impressive when he followed up off a mark of 90. He absolutely ran away from Mountain Peak, who's gone on and won since. That form is quite useful. Jonah Jones was 3rd. He was unlucky last weekend at Ascot, went 3rd again. Arecibo was 8th in that Ascot race. He's obviously run really well without winning since. Tone the Brome was 11th. He's won twice since. 13th that day was Stone of Destiny. He was 2nd 2 starts later. 14th was Bane the Checks, 1-2 starts later. And Lahore, I think, finished last. He won his next start. So it was a really competitive handicap at Ascot, and he ran away from them. He's gone up 8 pounds. He was a bit disappointing at York. Things didn't go right from that day, and I'd be willing to put a line through that. He's drawn in 21. Normally, I think high draw is the place to be, but watching yesterday, I'm not so sure. You're better off being in the middle. He does have good course form, though, and I think he's almost starting to hit the frame at least. 8-1, I'd probably have a few quid each way on him. And I will have a few bob and con check as well for Clive Cox. This horse was a very useful juvenile. Ran well in the Norfolk, finished 5th. Was 2nd in the July Stakes at Newmarket when he was 2nd to Advertise, and he was 4th in the Richmond Stakes. Didn't win as a 3-year-old last year, but he did run in group and listed level for his first 3 starts, and then had 2 handicap runs, disappointing in both of them, including this race. But he seems to have found his form this year, found his level. He was placed 3 times before winning at Salisbury off of Market 94. He's only gone up 3 for that. He's a first-time visor. Adam Kirby back on board. He's drawn 1. Again, he's on the opposite side. Probably not ideal to be drawn on the extremities, but I just thought a horse has now got his confidence back and definitely has ability to rate a bit higher than 97. I'd probably have a small 2 bob each way on him as well.
I know it was just in the middle of all that. You did mention Jonah Jones, which gave me the absolute shivers. And if Niall O'Reilly, your colleague, is listening, my heart goes out to you, because last week at Ascot, that was X-rated viewing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a horse myself and Niall have been following now for a bit this year, and he's doing damage to our pockets.
It is, and one that's also doing damage to our pockets is Arecibo. And just one thing on Arecibo, okay? I know our regular host, Bruce Millington, might be listening to this, and he'll be screaming at his phone saying, what are you doing tipping Arecibo again? Just the trip. Just remember, this is not 5 furlongs. This is 5 furlongs and 143 yards. And our colleague Paul Keeley did make the case that when he ran very well at York when he was fourth to acclaim the nation, that was 5 furlongs and 89 yards. I don't think he quite gets six, and I think it just happens too quick for him over five. That might sound bonkers, but I think these extra 143 yards will certainly play to his strengths. And look, if he doesn't get knocked over three times, if he only just gets stopped maybe twice in running, I still think he can win this race. So I'm going to give Arecibo one last final chance. And this is it, Frank. This is it. I promise. Yeah. This is it. No, if he doesn't win this time, it's it.
I can see your reasoning, and I do agree with you that the trip is ideal for him. He was running on really strongly at the end of the race at York, and as I said, he'll definitely hit the frame, I would think. But yeah, just he's a horse. When they keep running well without winning, just turns me off after a while. But yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're in the water at the minute. We're not just on the cliff. But there you go. That is the Portland Handicap at 2:25 at Doncaster. Moving on to the 3 o'clock. It is the Park Stakes. It's a Group 2. And just in case you think I've forgotten our colleague Keith Melrose and that I don't like Scottish people or something, it's not that. It's that Keith has been working very, very hard all morning and he just didn't quite get to study the first two races that we've mentioned on the show. But he has dissected the Park Stakes. I think he's found a winner. So before we come to you, Keith, just give us a rundown of Paddy Power's prices on the 3 o'clock at Doncaster. Frank?
Yeah, this is our money back special app. Money back for a tenner if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth. At the moment, Lamato 5-2 favourite, One Master 3-1, Wichita 7-2, Monotham 5-1, Breathtaking Look 8-1, Urban Icon 14-1, and we're 16-1 bar.
Right, Keith, you've had a bit of a breather. I want you to be the big impact sub now and come in with an explosive tip. What's going to win the 3 o'clock at Doncaster?
Yeah, I really do fancy winning this. And it wasn't that I hadn't studied the other two, it's just that I looked at them and thought, I can't find a bet here and haven't got 3 hours to unearth one.
That's perfectly respectable.
I did have a look at them both. I thought using this champagne, if anything, but I didn't fancy it enough to really mention it. The one I really fancy in this one is Wichita. Now, we talk about the 3-year-old middle distance horses and how they're basically bobbins this year, but the milers are pretty good. And Wichita has been second in the 2000 Guineas, and he was third. He was beaten a length and a quarter by Palace Pier and ahead by Pinatubo in the St. James's Palace. That was his first two runs of the year. At the time, sort of in the run-up to the Guineas, you guys will know better than me, the vibes definitively came that he was the miler from Ballydoyle this year among the three-year-olds. And that form suggests as much. Now, the two runs since, everything went wrong at Goodwood. We had a regular heartbeat, lost a shoe, lame on one of his hind legs. You know, not much more could have gone wrong there. And then 11 days later, he got run off his feet a little bit in the Morris de Geest. Now, I double-checked his stride data to make sure he is fine for seven with on that basis. He has got a fair bit of speed anyway, but what's also important in this race is that you've got a lot of pace. Shine So Bright is essentially a sprinter. Maurice Diamond always leads, but might not be fast enough to lead this time. Breathtaking Luke sometimes leads over 6 furlongs. So I think you're going to get a really strongly run race here. That'll suit a horse like Wichita, who wants the emphasis on stamina at 7 furlongs. And I think, yeah, I think he is, you look at his form going back, I think it's the strongest in the race, if you take it as early season form as it is. So at 4-1, I think he's a really good bet.
That's what you call making an impact. It is Wichita for our betting editor, Keith Melrose, in the Park Stakes. 3 o'clock at Doncaster. Are you in the Wichita camp, Frank?
Basically, control C, control V.
Beautiful. That's what I love to see.
Exactly what Keith said there. I'd be very keen as well. For exactly the same reasons as Keith said. Like, the 3-year-old miners are very good. That Ascot run, albeit at the time he might have been a small bit disappointed that he was third in the St. James's Palace after his cracking run the Guineas. The form could be working out much better. Pinatubo very unlucky not to win over in France over a mile the last day. And Palace Pier obviously looking the top mile around. Yeah, just 7 furlongs around Doncaster. I think it's going to be very hard to beat.
And it's a clean sweep because I'm very much in the Wichita camp as well. But Keith made the case better than I ever could. So it's 3 votes for Wichita in the Park Stakes. At Doncaster, moving back to Leopardstown, it's a busy afternoon. It's the 3:10. It's the Coolmore America Justify Matron Stakes. It is the first Group 1 of Irish Champions Weekend. And it is a fascinating affair. How do Paddy Power bet at the moment, Frank?
Yeah, we can't split Fancy Blue and Peaceful. They're both 2-1. Albigna 5-1, 7-1, Chambers Elise, 9-1, Valerie Messalina, 16-1, our 25-1 bar.
Right. I fancy Albigna here. Okay. I went through this race last night. Okay. And a lot of people will say that she just hasn't trained on from 2 to 3, and maybe either of yous might make that argument as well. But I just wonder, I really do. I spoke to Jessica Harrington and I did a few interviews with her during lockdown and at the start of the season, and I just never got the impression she was singing about Albania. Yes, all the rest of them, Alpine Star and different ones, were earning the headlines at that stage. But I just thought, I'd like to hear a bit more positivity about Albania. And obviously, she started 6-5 favour for the Irish Guineas. She only finished 6th. Shane Foley was convinced it was the Ratlin quick round that was to play in that night. She then had a nice break. She had basically, you know, 2.5 months off. She returned at the Curra, I would say, with this race in mind. And I think a mile at Leopardstown, just on the easy side of good, stall 3. Jessica says that this filly is back working the house down on the gallops. And I think this is the day for Albania, because I think ideally, I think Fancy Blue definitely wants 10 furlongs to be at her best. I think Peaceful also might want a little bit further to be at her best, whereas Albania is an out and out miler. And I think this is going to be Albania's day. Am I right or am I wrong, Frank Hickey?
I wouldn't disagree. I definitely about the Fancy Blue and Peaceful. I think both of them might be better at 10. Now, Peaceful did win the Irish Guineas. Albania, I'd say the ground was probably against her at the Curra in the Guineas. But the way she went to the market the last day, I'd say the run was badly needed. And it was probably all aiming towards this race. I thought it was a tricky race for a bet. If she comes back to her best, she's the right chance. I'd have a small few quid a note on maybe each way. Now, she's starting to shorten up now, but thought she was unlucky not to win in the trial, the Group 3 trial race earlier in the year when she was second to Love Locket. Didn't get a clear run of that at all. I think she would have got close to a clear run. Followed that up by winning easily. And then she was third in a Group 1 in France last time out, beating only three quarters of length by Watch Me beat Hermosa in the Coronation Stakes last year. And that was a fair effort. I think she was probably the second best horse in the race in France in overall. Look, she's a bit defined, but she is improving. It'd be great to see Johnny Murta win a Group 1. I wouldn't put you off Albania at all. I think it's a tricky race from a betting point of view.
Okie dokes. Keith, what do you make of the matron?
I didn't have much of a view on this one. I have got the same misgivings about the top two fillies at the trip, but couldn't come down on a bet, unfortunately.
Okie dokes. So there you go. Well, my advice to listeners is Albania, possibly my strongest fancy of the entire day. I think it's set up for her, and I'd be very disappointed if she doesn't win for the first time as a three-year-old. Now, as we said already, there's quality action all over the place, and the ITV cameras are also at Chester, and the 205 at Chester is the listed Stan Cup Stakes over a mile and a half, and I think Algonac is favourite at the moment, Frank.
Algonac 11-8, Mirando 7-4, Universal Order 4-1, Hereby 6-1, and Time Voyage is 80-1.
Now, this has Keith Melrose written all over it. Let's give listeners a winner, Keith.
Yeah, I'm going to go, after talking up Hookham and how his form's so much better than the three-year-olds and all that sort of carry-on, third and fourth in that Jeffrey Fear turn-up in this race, and I'm going to oppose both of them. I think Universal Order is the one to be with in this race. He is a really progressive four-year-old. He got going towards the end of last year, gelded, improved again in Dubai, and his two runs back in Britain this year have been really impressive. The first one, he basically didn't get a great ride at Newmarket and still won. He got up in the shadow of the post, showed a really good turn of foot to get up late on. And then he maybe didn't stay over a mile 6 at York, but he got up sides maybe 2 furlongs out and didn't really see things out. He hung a little bit as well. Something to keep him focused, and he can travel plenty well enough. That equals Chester to me, so I don't think he'll have any problems whizzing around here. And the way he's going, I think he can get the measure of Mirando and Alignac.
Excellent. So it's Universal Order for Keith Melrose. Who for Frank Hickey?
Nothing. I know best. I just didn't like the two Chester races at all, Dave, to be honest.
That's all right, Frank. No problem. Yeah, you've given us plenty of winners at the other tracks. The 240 at Chester is a mile 2 handicap. The Racing Together, How Sport Helps Others handicap. It certainly does. And if you think Arecibo is a cliff horse for me, there's another one in here in Prejudice, who I was convinced would win a couple of times this season, and it was gut-wrenching last time at Newcastle. He's going to win someday, Keith, and could it be this? A mile 2, possibly doesn't quite get a mile and a half, a mile 2, Chester. Is this going to be the day for Prejudice, Keith?
He's got his cultist followers, which means he's too short for me to be putting him up, unfortunately. I mean, I'm not going to say he doesn't win or anything, but, you know, 5-2 in a race like this is not for me. So ditto me, Danny, really. And I think Lone Ranger was arguably a bit lucky to even win here last time. It was a Chester sort of ride, beating Strait of Hormuz, admittedly, but a Chester sort of ride. I don't think he'd have won otherwise particularly. And I think the promise in B Moore has been overlooked. She was quick enough to win over 7.5 furlongs here last summer, and has improved still for the step up to 10 in her last two runs. Now, she won at Sandown the time before, and after that race, it was a reasonable time, and it's obviously a stiff finish at Sandown. She stays a mile two, there's no question of that anymore. So the next time when she ran at Goodwood and didn't really see it out against Shamaid, I think that can be put down to her not overcoming what was a pace bias on the day. She is a really strong traveller, as you can imagine, by her form over shorter. So Chester's going to be grand for her whizzing round here. And I think with some sort of more obviously sexy horses, she has been overlooked. And 7-1 I can see here, I think that's too big.
Excellent. So there you go. That's the two races at Chester live on ITV. Now, without revealing your Saturday nap, anything else on any of the cards on Saturday? As we said, it's a bumper day of action. We've action all over the place. Frank, without revealing your nap, any strong fancies on Saturday?
Yeah, over at Fontwell, Ballywood, I thought was interesting in the 325. Didn't win last year, but he never really got his ground. Likes good ground. He was third in decent handicaps at Ascot and Cheltenham. Was a very good sixth in the Grand Annual off a mark of 146. He was dropped a pound to 145. Like if you go back to his novice days, he wasn't beaten too far in the Grade Two. Lightning novices chased by Dynamite Dollars, and he beat Cape in the handicap chase at Taunton. Good ground at the moment at Fontwell. That's our track that suits him. He's a strong tracker. Thought he might take a bit of beating. I thought the 235. At the particular Premier Handicap cracking race, I thought there was loads to make a case for Persia's and his first start of the season off a mark of 100, and the 3-year-old weight for age allowance is massive over this sort of trip. If he go and runs this sort of juvenile form, he'll be very difficult to beat. But I did think Grandmaster Flash was very interesting. Ebor Trial, another Premier Handicap off 88 in the Curragh, I think the Curragh, behind Linwood Gold and Miran. He ran really fifth in Galway, then behind Princess Zoe over an extended 2 miles, was beaten only 2 lengths by Princess Zoe that day. Princess Zoe was only running off 83. She's obviously followed up at Galway later in the week and then won at listed level during the week. That race is working out as well, with the third Golden Spear and the fourth Xenon finishing in reverse order, first and second in a Premier Handicap in Clarny. Grandmaster Flash off a mark of 87, drawn okay. I think he's drawn 6. I thought he'd be a double figure price. I'd like him each way. And just in the Boomerang Mile, David O'Mara has a decent enough record in the race. He's won it twice with Custom Cut and Suede, while Custom Cut was also second in another edition of the race. I think that's all in the last 5 years. He's sending Escobar over here. Escobar obviously has...
No. You're not tipping Escobar, are you?
I am.
Oh, no.
He's a double figure price, about 16-1. With us, I think that's a fair each way. There's holes in a few of them. Say, Foyager want the ground softer, and he's probably better at 7 furlongs. Saint Dream impressive at Goodwood, but again, that was testing ground. He's really effective in testing ground. I'm not sure he'd run to the exact same level back on good ground, even if he does handle it. And just the price is Escobar. Yeah, he's definitely worth a few bob each way. Back to his Balmoral win, Dave. Like, he's hammered Lord North off a mark of 105, and Lord North's gone on and won the Cambridgeshire very easily and won a Group 1 this year. He needs to bounce back to form, but I think in the price you're getting, it's worth it. He only has ability when he was third in the Lennox. He should have been second that day behind Space Blues. And yeah, if he comes back to that sort of form, I think he'll definitely...
Don't get me wrong, Frank. There's nothing wrong with a decent value loser. I like them just as much as the best, the next fella.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, you know, it's a bit like the Arecibo reasoning. You know, I'm going to give him a chance. There's two more. The 515, the Paddy Power, is it 2021 yet?
Great name.
I think everyone will be glad to see the back of 2020. But look, this isn't very original. But Tiger Moss getting, as I mentioned already, the 3-year-old allowance here is going to be very difficult to beat. Patrick Sarsfield, a big improver, but he has to concede plenty of weight to Tiger Mott. His maiden win is looking decent. There's plenty of winners behind him, like Dawn Patrol, Monument Valley, Red Kelly, among others. was only beaten a neck by Santiago in the Derby. Getting the weight here in a Group 3, he should be hard to beat. And just won at a massive price in the 7 furlong handicap to close out the card at Leopardstown. Prince of Naples for Sheila Lavery. I thought it was very interesting that Breaking Story went really close to win the Irish Cambridge for her. And Robbie Collins jumped off to ride this. Now, Useful 2-year-old last year was fourth in the big sales race of the Curragh this weekend last year. Midfield in the Round Tower Stakes was finished season winning at Dundalk, reappeared at list 11 here at Leopardstown, was beaten 2 lengths in third, was off again for a bit, came back, finished seventh in the 7 furlong list of race at Nate, was only beaten 4 lengths, shaped like he'd come on for the run. And I just thought it was interesting that she's gone close in a few of these big handicaps this year with Breaking Story and Quizzical in both the Ahanura and the Irish Cambridger. I just thought it was interesting Robbie Collins was writing that. And it's about 16 to 1 at the moment.
Absolutely. So there's a few from Frank Kickey that you can keep an eye on. Keith, anything else that is in your nap?
No, I feel for poor Ballywood. I was going to back him at Aintree and here I thought whizzing round on spring ground and stiffer fences would really suit him. So hoping he does win, but I didn't particularly fancy anything else.
Okay, just a couple from me on the Leopardstown card. In the Clipper Logistics Boomerang Mile, I think Safe Voyage will beat Escobar, Frank. I just think Leopardstown, that mile, it's not the toughest mile around. I just thought last time it was a brilliant performance from Safe Voyage. I think there'll be enough cut in the ground for him to do himself justice. He's drawn in six. Colin Keane takes the ride. I think he's still improving. I know he's 7, but I thought he'd be very hard to beat. In the 550, the Sovereign Path handicap, I see where you're coming from with Prince of Naples. But the one I think that's been overpriced all week, and it's 14 to 1 with Paddy Power, is Agitare from the Jim Bulger stable. But this is the horse that was beaten by the massive price. I think it was the biggest price winner in Ireland, the 300 to 1 shot. He knows no fear on his last visit to Leopardstown. But since then, I thought he ran an absolute cracker when he was close up fourth in the Cambridgeshire. Then he ran in a listed race at Cork during the week. He was only beaten a length and a quarter by Aztec Parade. I thought that was a really good run. I think a race like this will suit him. And I think 14 to 1 each way is a great price. A bit agitator. So there you go. Now it's time for the Saturday naps. Frank Hickey.
Doncaster 405 Dingle. This is a horse I've liked. I think I might have napped it 2 weeks ago, actually, when I ran at Kempton. But I just saw an opposition bookmaker went up price in this race, and I couldn't believe the price they put it in. Now, this horse was being bigged up by Richard Hannon before its debut at Newmarket. Shaped like a baddie, needed the run. Travelled all right, and then weakened outfit behind Naval Crown. Definitely needed the run. Ran a lot better in the Convivial at York when third behind Naval Crown. That was a fair run. Made its handicap debut off a mark of 82 at Kempton the last day over a mile, stepped up to a mile, and really did well to win, but still was a bit green. I thought he won a bit easier than the half-length margin would suggest. I'm convinced this horse is going to rate 100 or more by the start of next season. He's gone up £4 only for the win. I think he'll have learned a fair bit from the last day as well. I saw he was put in 8-1 with one firm, and I was surprised.
Big mistake.
He should be favourite, is what I think. And I've had a few quid on, and I think he'll win this. And he'd be a horse now. I wouldn't be surprised if they were working back from something like the Britannia for him.
Whoa. So give us the name and the time and the track again, Frank.
405 Doncaster Dingle.
The Keith Melrose Saturday nap.
Would you be mad if I stole Wichita?
Absolutely not. Fire away. No.
3 o'clock Doncaster. Seeing it was consensus on the panel. 3 o'clock Donny, Wichita.
And mine is going to be just 10 minutes later, the 3:10 at Leopardstown, Albania. So there you go. That's Saturday's action covered. Join us after the break when we'll be talking about everything that's happening on Sunday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with David Jennings, Frank the Tank Hickey and Keith Melrose. And the second leg of Irish Champions Weekend is at the Curragh on Sunday. 8 races. 4 Group 1 races, The first of those, the 310, the Flying Five. But we're going to look at the 410, and it's the Goff's Vincent O'Brien National Stakes. And it sees the return of Battleground. Just how short is he, Frank?
He's joint favourite with Master of the Seas, David. Both 5-2. Lucky Vega, 11-4. And we're actually 14s bar.
This is a good race, Frank. I think Battleground is probably a little bit underrated because he only just does enough and doesn't really excite you in a finish or anything like that. But he's hardy, he's powerful, travels well, he's straightforward. I think he's going to be hard to beat. What do you think?
I think it's the race of the weekend. I really do. I think it's an absolute cracker. You've got Master of the Seas coming in here, taking the same route as Quarto, who won this race 2 years ago for Charlie Appleby. He's going for a hat-trick in the race because obviously Pinatubo won it last year. They're closely matched, Battleground and Master of the Seas. They both beat Devious Company on their last start. Battleground by 2 lengths in the Prestige Stakes. Master of the Seas by 3 lengths in the Superlative. I do agree that Battleground isn't kind of sexy the way he goes about winning, but he is tough. But I just couldn't get away from Lucky Vega the way he won the last day in the Phoenix Stakes. He travels like a dream and quickened up. And like the form of his debut win has been worked out really well. And I think the only reason he got beaten at the Curragh in the Railway Stakes was I don't think he was fully as fit as probably they wanted him in hindsight. And he just couldn't get away from the last day. My God, he was so impressive. And while I probably wouldn't want it to develop into a real scrap with Battleground, I do think he's been the classiest of them so far. And he's the one I liked in the race. Now, I would give a mention to, if there is one at a price that might run well, it might be Thunder Moon for Joseph O'Brien. Of winning a maiden here last month. Bolted up by nearly 4 lengths, beating a useful horse called Colour Star.
Won a barrier trial at the dock prior to that as well.
Yeah. Could, the usual, could be anything. But if there's one in here at a price, he might be the one. But I'm going to stick with Lucky Vega. I was really taken by the win in the Phoenix Stakes. And I think he might be able to follow up.
Yeah, and the ratings suggest Lucky Vega is a bit in hand as well. Keith Reid, 117, £5 clear of Battleground and Master of the Seas. What way do you see this one going?
I want to have a big bet on this race producing the champion juvenile. Unfortunately,
I'm sure Frank will lay it at.
If he leaves me anything bigger than about 3s on, I'll be backing it. It's an absolutely brilliant race. And the unfortunate.
What is the champion juvenile, Keith? That's what we want to know. Which one is it?
I don't know, to be honest. I was expecting Battleground to be quite a bit shorter than Master of the Seas and to back Master of the Seas, but it looks like everybody else has the same idea and they're the same price, which I think they should be. I would probably put those two. I'd probably go Master of the Seas, Battleground, Lucky Vega in that sort of rough order of preference. I honestly can't see a bet between it. It's a race very much to watch. And as I say, I think the best juvenile of the year is running in this race. Sunday will tell us who that is.
Absolutely. It's a race not to be missed. It is the 4:10 at the Curragh on Sunday. And a half an hour later, the final classic of the season, although my own boss, Richard Forrestal, does not really see it as a classic because it's open to older horses. It is the Comer Group International Irish St. Ledger. And how do Paddy Power bet, Frank?
Twilight Payment, 9-4. Sovereign and Fujairah Prince are 3-1. Micromanage, 5-1. Last year's winner, Search for Song, is 10-1. And we're 16-1 bar.
Keith, how do you see this one going?
I didn't have a particularly strong view. I think last year's one has been laid out for it again. And, 10-1 is probably a bit on the big side. It's not a strong selection, but obviously I see a horse that's been getting worked up for another go at the same race. So for horses, say Fujairah Prince, it's a little bit potentially of an afterthought or a bridge either way. This is maybe one of the horses that today is the cup final, and at 10-1 with the sort of form he's got behind him was a bit big.
Frank, is Sovereign not just better than these? He won the Irish Derby by 6 lengths. Yes, maybe he got away. But, he ran the King George and wasn't disgraced behind an Abel. He's rated 117. It seems as though this has been the plan all season. It's his first time stepping back up to this trip since he made his comeback behind Twilight Payment. I think Sovereign is just a bit classier than these, is he?
He might well be. I don't think it's a very strong renewal of the race. I'd agree with Keith, though, at the prices. Yeah. I hadn't had much of a look at the prices, to be honest. I just 10-1, like Search for Song has been laid out for, like, she's been running over 10 furlongs twice and in the Munster Oaks over a mile and a half. Like, she didn't shape too badly in the Tarsals Gold Cup when she was beaten four and a quarter lengths by Magical in third. If she comes back to anywhere like last year's form when she beat Kew Gardens, 10 to 1 would be a huge price, because I don't think anything's like, you know, set in the world of light here. Look, Sovereign again, if he can come back to his Irish Derby form, like that'll make him a big player. You know, like the fact Twilight Payment is favoured will tell you everything you need to know about the race. Like, he's good, but he's no superstar. And yeah, it wasn't a race I had a strong opinion on, but if Search for a Song could bounce back to last year's form, 10 to 1 would be a huge price.
Absolutely. Two votes for Search for a Song and one for Sovereign. It's a brilliant card, Frank. Two other Group 1s, plenty of top-class racing. Anything else you like?
I'll give a couple of mentions. The Flying Five Stakes looks a good renewal. Make a Challenge, obviously, favourite for Dennis Hogan. I don't think anyone would begrudge him if he won a Group 1 after losing Skeptical earlier in the year. I just think Al Ahly might be able to uphold the form. There's a £3 swing for a length when they ran the Group 2 Sapphire Stakes earlier in the year. Al Ahly won by a length, but he's really suited by 5 furlongs on a stiff track, strongly run, and I think he's going to get that here. I think just 5 furlongs at York's a bit too sharp for him, and yeah, like, he was impressive at Sandown, he was impressive at the Curra. Back to the Curra here, it's not the strongest Group 1 ever. I think he's a fair price at the moment, where 5-1 while Make a Challenge 11-4. I personally have him a bit closer. I think he might be able to win the Flying Five. And the 3:40 looked pretty gorgeous, was very good in the Debutante Stakes the last day. She was very impressive the way she travelled and put the race to bed. She'll be tough to beat, but I'd give Thunder Beauty a chance at a big price. Second string, it looks second string Ken Condon on jockey bookings, but she was nibbled in the market on debut here over 6 furlongs. I think she was like 25-1 into 12s. And she did it very well. And that wasn't a bad race. She was very strong at the line that day as well, suggesting the step up to 7 furlongs would really suit her. And the time of the race compared well enough with the maiden that Killavan won. That horse was rated 90. St. Mark's Basilica was second that day. He went up favourite for the Group 1 Phoenix Stakes as next start when he was fifth and won a maiden next time. And the race itself that Thunder Beauty won, the fourth Allegar was fourth in a Group 3 in the next start, the fifth Son Pearson won a maiden in the next start, the 11th Sweet Gardenia won the sales race at Nace and wasn't disgraced when fourth in the Round Tower Stakes to Group 3. So the form was pretty decent, and she was impressive and looked like she'd improve as well for the run, and she's a double figure price. Ken Conlon's a good bunch of juveniles. He has Teresa Mendoza in here too, who's a very good horse, and Billy Lee rides that, and he obviously has Law of Indices, who won a Group 2 earlier in the year. She'll be a double figure price, but I'd have a small few bob each way in her. I thought I would like the way she won her race at the Curra on debut.
Excellent. So that is Thunder Beauty in the 3:40 for Frank Hickey. Keith, anything you like on the rest of the Curra card?
Not particularly the Curra, no.
That's perfectly fine. So I think you had a look at the action in France. Plenty of arc trials.
Yeah, that's it. I had more of a look at France than the Curra, really. I have one bet, and it's, you know, you guys have been talking at length about your various cliff horses over the year, and I'm going to have one last go at mine this year. English King's best performance to now came in a steadily run, quicken up race at Lingfield, and he might get another one in the Grand Prix de Paris. I don't think it's much of a race. You know, it's a lot of the similar sort of horses that he's been in against all season. Serpentine, still not convinced about the Derby form, of course. So yeah, I'm taking a chance. I wasn't expecting to get as big as 7-1 about English King. Yeah, I can see it. So yeah, I'll be having a one last go on him. And I'll also be having a lookout on the Vermeil. I know from sort of watching France pre-British resumption that Les Chiens have been barking for Rabaiyat all season. She's a really impressive filly. When she finished fourth in the Diane, you thought, well, you know, the fact that she was light on the tail of Fancy Blue Alpine Star and Peaceful with a bit of a gap to the rest made sense to somebody who sort of knew how well-regarded she was. The four of them have all proved to be pretty good fillies. She's another one. On form, she shouldn't be even money-ish for the Vermeil, but in terms of how she's looked and the impression she's left, she's justified in that, and I'll be hoping that she can really make her case for the arc.
Lovely stuff. Well, I think you're preaching to the converted when it comes to English King. Frank Hickey was, I think, along with you, the founding member of the fan club of English King, who I actually was given a chance in the ledger if he turned up, but I can certainly see where you're coming from.
I don't think you're still mile six. I think mile four will be very, very top for him. I wouldn't be averse to moving him back into the event.
Yeah, I'd agree with Keith. I think he's got a right chance in France, and I'd echo what Keith did.
Why does that not surprise me, Frank?
I know, I would have been against him in the ledger now, to be fair, if he'd won it. But yeah, just back in France, it's not the strongest ever. I'd keep an eye on how that Port Gleamy, or I can't pronounce it, will run as well. He's been bought with Australia in mind. He'll need this to run in the arc. If he doesn't win, he'll go to Australia. He might be one to bear in mind for the Caulfield Cup and potentially maybe even the Melbourne Cup itself. And I'd agree with what Keith said about Rebaya. Not only do I think she'll win on Sunday, but I think she might win the arc.
Whoa, there you go, Rebaya. Keep the name in your tracker. Just one for me on Sunday, the 550 at the Curragh, the Northfields handicap. I think D Graves is a very well-handicapped horse for Joseph O'Brien. He's only had two starts this season, had a really good two-year-old campaign. I thought he could be a classic contender, but it's been a softly, softly approach by Joseph this year. Off a mark of 104. Wasn't beaten far by Armory last time. And I still think there's a big race in D Graves. Could be a double-figure price. That's in the 550 at the Curragh on Sunday. So there you go, folks. Enjoy the weekend. It's a brilliant weekend of action, both at Doncaster and Leopardstown and the Curragh, also in France. My thanks to Frank the Tank Hickey from Paddy Power, to our betting editor, Keith Melrose. I've been David Jennings. If you enjoyed these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. We'll be back next week. And until then, goodbye. And don't forget to gamble responsibly.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.